Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. And happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Has anyone got something that you're really, really thankful for? Just wave your hand. How many got more than one thing? You know, Carol and I met the nicest policeman on the way here this morning. It was just so great. He said, did you know that you were going 75 in a 50 zone? I said, no, I wasn't aware of that. But anyway, he took my license and went back to his car for a minute. And then he came back and said, have a nice Thanksgiving day. And Michael was in the back seat. I said, Michael, you just witnessed a miracle. This is amazing. And it caused me to begin to be thankful for all the times that I could have gotten a fine like that and got off. You know, I was thinking there was one a couple of years prior to that, when up on Rutherford Road where we got off. And there was another time I was with Duncan, and I got off. And there was another time when we were in Mexico. How many know that you don't get off when you're in Mexico? When they had this incredible conversation in Spanish going back and forth, and what they told them is, we have this very important international speaker with us, and you know, da 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 da. And they gave him this whole spiel. And so the Mexican police actually escorted us to where we were going. I said, Lord, you know, there's amazing favor sometimes. You don't always get a fine, do you? So how many have got things like that you could praise the Lord for? Tell him, thank you this morning, Lord. I have a very thankful heart. Your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. It's so awesome. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about influence this morning. And that you are called upon by the Lord to use your influence for the kingdom of God. And in the process of that, life will teach you things such as character development. Turn and smile at somebody and say, what's he mean by that? Let's go to Matthew 25. And verse 14 and following is talking about the parable of the talents. And here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now a talent is about 80 pounds of silver. In today's money, I think it's worth about $20,000, 20K. The next one got 2, so he got 8,000, and the other guy got 1, so he got 4,000. So they got a significant amount of money, especially in that day and in that culture. This is a fortune. How many understand? When they had received, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. He who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. He doubled it. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Turn to your friend and say, he was afraid. And he went and hid your talent in the ground. So look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I haven't scattered. So you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And by the way, throw the unprofitable guy out. Now, this is an amazing story. We can learn a whole lot from this. Because, you see, our Christian life that you and I are on right now, it's not just, the goal is not just to sort of eat every day and survive and, you know, live a long life and be happy. But we have objectives and we have callings that are toward the kingdom of God, where we need to be using our influence to bring the kingdom. How many would agree with that? Everyone in this room has a measure of influence. Some have like 5 talents, some have 1, but we need to invest it and get it out there and share it and use our influence rather than just be afraid and hide it. And as I read this story, I think there's a little key right there where the one guy, he misunderstood who Jesus was. So he shut down through fear. And he's saying, I knew you were a hard man, and I knew you had unreasonable expectations, and I was afraid, and so I just buried it so I wouldn't lose what I had. You know, I didn't want to take the risk. What's wrong with that? So I don't think Jesus is like that, really. I think he's the most kind, loving, wonderful person, but he has expectations that you and I are going to be fruitful. Now, I think it's wrong for you and I not to use our influence. That would be like dying with $1 million in a savings account, wouldn't it? Imagine if you had an amount of money that you could be investing and you could be making more money, you could be giving to the kingdom, you could be doing all that. And he's using money as a way for us to understand that the things of life, the things of the spirit, the things of getting hearts healed up, the things of winning the lost, evangelism, prayer, intercession, and impact on our nation are things that we want to invest in. And so we want to invest our time. I was so impressed with Charlie and Elaine sharing the other day as a testimony about how they take this program into the schools. And what they do is it's kind of values and principles that they take in geared to grade 7 and 8, 9 and that whole age group. And it is absolutely fantastic what they do with that. I don't have time to tell you, but I would love it if our campuses and all of us here got involved in something like that, because it's time we were reaching out and investing. See, we're on 3 journeys, not just 1. And the inward journey, very important. You've got to get healed up before you can, you know, give it away. But once we learn to receive for us and be equipped and healed up for us and worship him in spirit and in truth and be full of prayer and full of praise, now we want to take this out into the community and win a lost and broken world. How many want to do that? See, it's wrong to keep your talent buried. Now, there's character issues that go along with this. And I want to take you to a scripture in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, And let's start at verse 6. King James Version, New King James Version, I'm reading. In this you greatly rejoice. He's talking about our salvation, which is being more and more revealed to the last day. Greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Is there anybody here from time to time have trials in life? I mean, it doesn't always go your way. Anybody? Wave unashamedly. That would be me over here. Trials. Okay, what kind of trials? Well, trials in your home, trials in your marriage, trials in your children, trials in your own heart, trials in your career, in your job, in your family, extended family, and on it goes. Can you think about 3 or 4 or 5 trials right now? If you got a few, okay. And here's where we have to be informed. Because if we're not careful, we begin to say things like, God, I thought you loved me. Why are you allowing all this stuff to come my way? Anybody ever said anything like that to him? Besides me? Huh? And the answer comes back, it's because I love you that I am allowing these things. Because I want to develop character in you. Character development. I want to see how you do under pressure. I know you'll do well when everything goes your way. Most of us do. But I want to know how are you when everything seems to be going wrong and it's not going your way. Even though, Peter's saying, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? So that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just a little bit on verse 7 there. The genuineness of your faith, the New King James says. The NIV says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise. And the Old King James says that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, and that's exactly what the Greek word is after there, that your faith is tested. How many are happy about that? Hallelujah, my faith is going to be tested. Glory to God. Now see, this is unto something, people. Because God is hoping that you will pass the test with flying colors. Do you know why? What did we read? Because you're faithful with little, I will make you ruler over many things. Do you want to be a ruler one day? Do you? Think about it. Let's go to Luke 19. That's a similar scenario, but it's not talents or 80 pounds of silver, but much less, like about $500 worth. And so let's go to Luke 19, verse 12. I think it'll get us going there. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. Now, this is a parable. Jesus saying, I am leaving. I'm going away. I'm going to get everything ready to receive the kingdom, and then I'm coming back. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas. And a mina is about a pound of silver, not 80 pounds like the other guys, but a pound worth about $500. give or take. And he said to them this, do business till I come. He said, occupy till I come. Not hide away. Don't just go into a cave and pray 24/7, but get out there and occupy as well. See, once again, we don't just have one thing to do. It's not just the inward journey, nor is it just the upward journey, nor is it just the outward journey, but it's all three. And we're talking about the outward journey right here now. And he's saying, get out there and do business. I want you to take the seven mountains. I want you to occupy until I come. I want you to take that which I have given to you, and I want you to invest it and reinvest it so we can see fruitfulness and advance in the kingdom of God. So these 10 guys each got the same amount of money. Verse 19, or chapter 19, 14 says, but his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Okay, so there's a group that did not want that. And as you know, the Jewish people, among others, totally refused to have him as the Messiah, by and large, not altogether. It was a great company of priests and others who believed in him, but there were many who didn't. Anyway, so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, this part's thrilling. Did you know Jesus is coming back? See, that's the highlight of our life here. I mean, there's more to the story. I mean, it goes on forever, and what'll it be in 1,000 years and all that, but the big deal, the highlight, is he is coming back, and he's coming back for a bride who loves him. And he's saying, I'm going to come back, and there's going to be some accountability going on. So in this particular case, he's telling us for a reason. He returned having received the kingdom, and he commanded those servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The first came, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Your pound has earned 10 pounds. Wow. Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came. We only hear from three. Two guys did well, one guy didn't. The second came saying, Master, your minas earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you also have 5 cities. This is amazing, everybody. Have you ever thought of yourself being ruler over a city? Have you? I've asked them for Toronto, so you can go back to Stratford or somewhere and have that. But you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, is in his heart to cause you to be a ruler over cities when he comes back with his kingdom. Now here's the deal. He is looking for people of integrity to rule over cities. See, we just had an election here. And we were hoping that men and women of integrity would be the ones who were elected into office. Did your candidates get in? We won't get into it because, yeah, we're supposed to be nonpartisan a little bit, aren't we? But just to say that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when we see sinful agendas coming relentlessly again and again and again, and politicians supporting that, see, those are not the kind of people that we want to rule our city, and they're not the kind of people we want to rule over them for eternity. Are they? What sort of person do you want to rule over the city that you live in forever? How about someone who is really a lot like Jesus? And we have to understand that this integrity side of things. See, it's not just about giftedness. It's not just about signs, miracles, wonders, and healing. And we had a wonderful load of healings this last week, and it was fantastic. and I love them as much as anybody. But I'm longing for the integrity side. Oh, God, I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be one like Jesus. I want to be faithful. And not only that, I don't want to just get there. I want to get it to the point where I can give it away and export this to other people. I want to use and invest that which you have put within me so that we can make a difference in our city. Do you know that 95% of the people in this room absolutely have the key to life within them? They know about the three journeys I was just talking about. And they know that you must be born again, and they know that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and all of these things. It's amazing, isn't it, how much we know. I was thrilled, you know, at the conference last week because we were talking about a mission that we're about to do in Turkey and reaching out to Muslim people. And it touched the hearts of many who were here with a Muslim background. And I had these ladies, there's about four of them or five of them from Egypt all around me. And this one used to be Muslim and that one used to be Muslim. And they were telling me these stories. And you know what they were saying? We want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've heard that the Holy Spirit can come and fill people. And I thought, Lord, I've known that for like 50 years. And they're just finding out about it. Wow. Turn and tell your friend, I have a treasure stored up in my heart. I know about the things of God. Now tell someone else, and I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm going to invest it out there in the world. Now, when you're going to invest, how many know there's a risk involved? It doesn't always go your way. We had a long talk with Ivan and Isabel a while back, and Ivan's like, oh yeah, you got to buy silver. You need to get some silver. So Carol and I are like, okay, we got to get some silver. And the Bank of Montreal wasn't able to get it to us, like, but we were leaving on an airplane. This is late August. And so I worked it out with Mike and Sue and some others. We'll get it from this company in Quebec. Forget their name. So we ordered it all from them, and it came in. And we paid something like $44 an ounce. And then once we got home and everything got all straightened around, then everything kind of changed, and the silver went down to about $32 an ounce. So we just lost about 25% on our investment. How many have done that? Now, it wasn't a lot, thankfully, but it was, you know, only one or two have ever lost on an investment. Wow, well done. Now, see, this story's not over yet. So we're just going to keep it and see what happens. Maybe it'll go up again. But what happens is you, when you lose like that, you get in touch with the risk that you are taking. But you know, every time you want to witness to someone, there's a calculated risk. And whenever I'm about to do it, I hear this little voice go, oh, I don't know if that person's really open to this sort of thing. Or actually, I don't know if you got time to engage them in conversation right now because, you know, you need to hurry to get on to the next and da-da-da. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later, da-da. And it's always put it off. There's that procrastinating voice arises from the pit of hell somewhere to try to get you to procrastinate about sharing and investing the treasure that's in your heart. And you don't always win because sometimes they could get angry with you. I mean, potentially you could even lose your job, I suppose. But he is saying, I want you to invest the kingdom. I want you to get out there and give it away. What city do you want? What city do you want to rule, Shirley? Huh? Brampton. What city do you want to rule over, Ian? London, England. I think it's taken, but
But anyway,
you know, I asked a group when we were down in Raleigh, preached this message, or a version of it, and I said to them, what city do you want? I asked Terje from Norway, what city do you want? Do you know what he said? I want Mecca. I thought, for goodness sake, the guy has absolutely outdone us there with that one. That is amazing. But see, he's looking for men and women of character. Poke your friend and say, character, That means the Ten Commandments stuff. That means righteousness. That means honoring. That means faithfulness. That means keeping your promises. That means keeping your word. Don't we have an expectation that God is going to keep his promises to us? Why? Because he is full of character. And he's looking for people that are full of character. You know how we get them? They go through trials. See, he doesn't just take your word for it. Honest God, I'm a man of character. Oh, good. Good. Glad to hear that. Now let's just put it to the test. That's what's going on in your life. God has not abandoned you. He just is trying to help you make it to the big time. Well done. That's what you want to hear him say, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many cities. Wow. 10 cities, 5 cities, then another came. Here's the third guy. We only hear from 3. 10 got the money. We only hear from 3. Here's your mina, which I've kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man or a hard man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man. It's like, oh, so you knew I was a hard man, did you? Collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow. Well, why then did you not put my money in the bank that I might, at my coming, I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. Now, how many have been bothered by that scripture? A little bit, just a little bit. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem fair. Why give it to the guy with 10? What's up with that? There's only one guy who's been bothered by that besides me. Anyone? You've been bothered by it. Okay, there's 3 of us, 4 of us. All right, come on, we're getting there. It seems like, you know, our British sense of fair play rises up. And we're, hang on. But no, see, this is going to the one who has the highest integrity. That's the deal. It's not about making money per se. It's about loving the kingdom, spreading the kingdom, and sowing the kingdom, and at the same time representing well the king. And who better to give more to than the guy who represents him the best? And see, that's who we want to be rulers over our cities. The millennial kingdom is a real place. Jesus will one day sit on the throne of David. And the new Jerusalem, I mean, however that's going to look, it's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss it. This is where we're going, and rapidly going there. I spoke at the conference about that we're definitely in the last days. But let's look at now the influencing, and what does this look like on the earth while you're being tested? Very quickly, because time's gone. Biblical characters. What about Joseph? What do you think of Joseph, everybody? Favored son, hated by his brothers. I mean, maybe Jacob could have done a better job with that. You know, if you show favoritism to one of your children, did that happen in your house, Judah? No. So you have to have a number of kids for this to work. If you only have one, well, you know. But a lot of people felt like my parents favored one of my siblings over me for sure. How many feel that way? Yeah, see, that sets up all kinds of things going on. But anyway, Joseph kept his heart right. Now, was Joseph tested? Most of the brothers wanted to murder him. Some of them toned it down and said, why don't we just sell him? So they sold him. And there he goes now to be a slave in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. Well, hey, it could have been worse, Joseph. You could have been out in the fields or whatever. And now you're in the home of an important man, and you're in charge of his household, running the household. So, hey, count your blessings. But what happens? It goes wrong again. He's accused of trying to rape the woman of the Potiphar's wife. I think Potiphar knew that it wasn't really true, but to save face, instead of killing him, he put him into prison. Now he's in prison for years. What's he do? He passes the test. He keeps his heart right. That's what Peter said. The trial of your faith is being much more precious than gold. Sometimes it's illness that tries you. Sometimes it's finances that try you. Sometimes it's people and relationships and family members even that try you. But there are things that happen in life that are testing your character as you go along. And you know what? You've already voted with what kind of a reaction you're going to respond with. How many like go, yikes. Is it too late to sort of change my mind? No, it isn't too late. You can put that right. Joseph in prison kept his heart right until one day he interpreted dreams like normal, and it got right to Pharaoh, and in one day's time he's taken out, cleaned up, shaved, new clothes, whatever, and hey, you're the prime minister of the country. Isn't that amazing? And that's what's in your future. So when those trials come along, just say, Lord, I just give myself to you, and I'm going to just let whatever grace you want to work in me, because I know about Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Can you let that in this morning? Even that which seems to be bad, he will cause it and turn it to be good. So keep your heart right. Joseph was amazing. We can go on to Moses. Moses was amazing. And Joshua, these guys used their influence. Can you see that when Joseph was tested and he came out on top, all of a sudden he has opportunity to use his influence, and he used it for the kingdom of God. Moses, similarly, raised in Pharaoh's house, off in the desert 40 years. The day comes when he comes back, and what does he do? He uses his influence for the kingdom of God very faithfully. And not only that, he raised up Joshua under him, and Joshua likewise, very faithful. And the scripture recounts that the people of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, because he used his influence to keep them all on track. And we can get over into others as we get into the judges. What about Eli? Remember him, Eli the priest? Was he a good leader? What do you think? He didn't even rule over his own sons well, see? And what did it do? Caused great problems. The sons of Eli caused God's people to hate the offerings. Don't let ministers today cause you to hate giving offerings unto the Lord, because their hearts are wrong, and they were motivated by wrong motives, and they twisted your arm or whatever and piled a whole load of guilt on you if you didn't give. Listen, the greatest privilege of all is giving unto the Lord out of a heart that loves him. And so there's a long list of people. Samuel, he was amazing. Saul, and then David. Samuel anointed Saul and David, two young men. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Weren't they great? I've asked you this before, I think, but whose anointing would you like? David or Saul? How many want David's? How many want Saul's? Yeah. Because you see, they're both the same. The anointing is the same on Saul and on David. What's the difference? Character. Difference is what you do with it. Saul's like, it's not my fault. It was their fault, the people, and this and that, circumstances. Whereas David, who sinned much more than Saul, by the way, ran to the Lord and said, against you and you only have I sinned. What? He was in that character development place, and he did really well. And consequently, David was able to use his influence and bravely lead his nation in victory after victory with the Lord's blessing mightily upon him. Wow. There's many in there that use their influence, but there's a time when David did not use his influence correctly. Do you remember when? Where did it start? Bathsheba. He used his kingly influence to go get another man's wife. And I don't know why she didn't say get lost. I don't know why. But it was like, wow, the king's calling me over for dinner, you know, like, hey. And so one thing led to another. And because of that cover-up, now when it happens in his own family, he's unable to bring a proper justice to Tamar and Absalom against Amnon, who raped his half-sister. He used his influence to try to cover it up. How many know it didn't work? God didn't bless it. The whole thing backfired. It all blew up. How many realize when you use your influence to try and save your hide and cover things up and do that which you know is wrong according to the kingdom of God, it's never going to work because God won't bless it. Tell your friend, it won't work. You got to do it God's way. Whether you like it or not, God's way. Solomon, led by his wisdom, used his influence correctly for most of his life. And we could talk about the apostles, Peter and John and all of them. Can you imagine the influence those guys had? They were with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he invested in them. He gave them power and authority. He sent them out 2 by 2, and off they went. And so first there was Jesus, then they multiplied. Now there's 12 disciples, so 13 in total. Then he multiplies again. There's 70 others, so now there's 83. Something 72, so there'd be 85. Imagine 85 going out and doing miracles all over the land, healing everybody. I mean, it would just have shaken that little nation right to the core. They were using their influence. And persecution came. They used their influence. And they spread the gospel all over the earth. And then we get to Paul and Timothy. Imagine Paul persecuting the faith, and then he's intercepted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and God says, I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. How many would like a prophetic word like that? How many like prophetic words? Hands up high. How about the word Paul got? Hey, I'm going to bring you before kings. All right. I'm going to do this and do that, and I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. Oh my goodness. You know, Paul went through a list of all the things that had happened to him. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. 3 times I've been beaten three times with rods, and several times with whips, 39 stripes, and stoned once and thrown to the lions in Ephesus. I mean, he just went on with his long list. But he came out saying, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Do you know the kind of character that builds in a man of God? I can tell you that Paul would make a great mayor for the city of Toronto. Wouldn't he? Away with the nonsense. Let's put everything in order. I mean, it would just be a joy to live in a city where he was in charge of. And that's your destiny. Do you want it? It's being held out to you. It's being offered to you. All you got to do is graciously pass the tests of life and start investing in the kingdom of God. So how are you doing with using your influence? I want you to think about the influence that you have. Do you have a family? Do they know about Jesus? Do you have any neighbors? Do they know about Jesus? How about the people you work with? Do they know about Jesus? You have been given a rich deposit of the kingdom of heaven, a fortune in precious heavenly silver. And God is saying, are you going to bury it, or are you going to get it out there so that people can get in on this thing? Because that's the Father's plan. He wants you and I to be stewards of this, to be sharing this and bringing people in. So how are you doing with using your influence? Each and every one of you has $1 million worth of influence at least because of what you know already. See, it's too late for you to say, I didn't know. You already have it. You've got the treasure within you. How many have it within you? Wave at me. Say, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have put within me. But see, it doesn't stop there. We gotta get it out now. We gotta share it. We gotta take that investment risk and begin to say, well, what if they don't like me? You know, one of the things that we used to hear when I was first a Christian was this. You are going to look into the eyes of the person that you used to work with and hear him say, why didn't you tell me? Because see, it goes on to say, these will go away into everlasting torment. Everlasting. You know, there's a lot of liberalism around. They go, oh, hell's not real. And they try to give you sort of a purgatory idea. Well, it's best, it's temporary. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm sorry. Jesus said it's forever, eternal life and eternal torment. Why? Because he doesn't want that in his kingdom of love. People are going to look at you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you share with me? See, it's heavy, isn't it? I mean, there's eternal consequences to all that we have. Even though, like Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never been told. So give your friend a nudge, say, lighten up. You can't witness when you're full of hell and full of fear and full of all that stuff. Nobody wants to join you. But if you're full of life and joy and happiness and miracles and all the rest of it, they will want what you have. Wimber used to say this to us. What business are you in? Okay, what business are you in? What business are you in, Sandra?
The soul business.
Sam?
Reaching out to people.
Loving people.
Encouraging people.
Bringing people to the Lord.
Bringing people to the Lord. Okay, what business are you in? Next question, how's business? Pretty good. You know, you want to learn how to win souls, have a talk to Shell over here. Cal. I mean, he was telling me a story one time. A person phoned up and said, is so-and-so there? And he says, no. What number did you want? They said, oh, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong number. He says, wait a minute. No, you didn't. You got the right number. The person said, what? He said, yeah, you phoned up here so you could hear about Jesus. I thought, wow, what a cool line. So all of a sudden, business is fun, you know. And I love it when we meet people and say, hey, have you got pain in your body? Say this after me, you know, this healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in the name of Jesus. And people are like, wow, how did you do that? Ah, that's Jesus on the outside. Would you like him on the inside? You know, we have a rich treasure within us, people. And we are called to be influencers and invest this. We sometimes use the term give it away, but I want to use this term, invest it in the broken, hurting people all around you. And we're developing, Sam's helping here, a list of about 50 different ways to reach out. And I guarantee two or three of them will suit you. One of them was a novel idea. Because every now and then you find Christians who still smoke and they can't seem to get free of it. Isn't that true? Maybe you're here. Well, what we want now is a few smoking Christians that will witness to all the smokers who are always standing around at the entrance to every building all the time. Wouldn't that be cool? And so you have an assignment now. When you go out for a smoke, you can start to witness to the other smokers out there. Because you can talk about the hockey game, or you can talk about the weather, you can talk about all that stuff. You say, but hey, I'm here talking about Jesus. And, you know, you can graduate from that ministry, that'd be fine. But while you're there, win a whole bunch of people. How many want to have a ministry of winning souls? How many want to have a ministry of healing the sick? Oh, come on. How many want to invest and see the kingdom of God grow and grow and grow? Well, I want you to get a goal in front of you. What city would you like? What city? What town? What? Wherever. What? Say, Jesus, I want to rule over that. I want to sort that place out for your honor and for your glory. As soon as you have your city, stand to your feet. I don't know if I want to rule a city. Well, that's okay. If you still can't think of one, stand up anyway and the Lord will help you. Some people are saying, I don't want to rule a city when I get there. I don't know. Maybe you want a nation. That would be good, wouldn't it? Somebody needs to take Denmark and sort it out. Somebody needs Greenland. Stretch up your hands to heaven. Father, I want to be an investor in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to hide the rich treasure you've deposited in me. I'm going to tell the world that there's a Savior who loves them, who came, who died for them. Lord, I ask you to lift us out of despair. I ask you to lift us out of hopelessness. I ask you to lift us out of the situation that we find ourselves in. Listen, 120 people changed the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's more than that here today. We need his presence, we need his power, we need his love, but there needs to be a willingness on the inside of us to share that which he has deposited within us. It may be that you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Say, well, that's good because you got to start somewhere. But the Bible's very clear. Unless a person is born again, he will not ever see the kingdom of heaven. That's the way in. Jesus is the door. The one who paid your debt is offering you total forgiveness so that you can come unto the Father through him. Now, I don't know the reasons why you would not accept Jesus, but I want you to know that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is returning soon to the earth to establish his kingdom. And there's an invitation going to your heart right now so that you can receive him as Savior and Lord. You need him as Savior, Because you owe a great debt to the righteousness of God. The Bible says all have sinned. That means you. You and I have sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God. There is an outstanding debt that must be paid because God is a God of integrity. He won't just forget about it, wave it off. And either you will pay it, or Jesus will be happy to pay it for you. So how does that work? Will you humble yourself? Admit that you've been wrong? And say, I need Jesus Christ to forgive me and come into my life? And he will pay your debt. Because he paid the debt for the sins of the world with his perfect, righteous life when he died on the cross for you. And it's humbling to admit that I've sinned. It's humbling to admit I've been wrong several times. It's humbling to admit that I've hurt people. I've hurt people. I've hurt the ones I love. But if you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sometimes people once knew him and they fell away. And they got busy in life, or they went after an education, or they went after a career, or even a relationship. You know, sometimes people give up Jesus because they were pressured by their boyfriend or their girlfriend. What a lousy reason to give up eternal life. If that's you, you're here this morning, I want to take a moment for you. Do you need Jesus Christ in your heart to forgive your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life? If you do, then I want you to just admit that to yourself and tell him. Tell him, Jesus, I need you. Now, I'm not speaking to people who have done it already, because we still need him, and I understand that. But I'm talking about people who know that if you were to die today, you're not sure where you'd be spending eternity. You never know when you're going to be called into eternity, do you? Steve Jobs died last week. One of the richest men on the earth. And in a moment, he's no longer rich. And he's standing before the judge of all the earth, asking the question, what did you do with my son, Jesus? The answer needs to be, I invited him into my heart. Well done. If you need him this morning, I want you to just bow your head, close your eyes for a moment, and talk to him and say, Jesus, I admit I need you. Will you do that? See, I can't make you do it. And don't do it for your mom or the people around you. This is for you. This is personal. This is for each and every one. I need you for me, Lord Jesus. This is the beginning of your journey. Now, if you just said that to him and to yourself, you just admitted it to yourself, I'm going to ask you to unashamedly hold your hand up high. Unashamedly, because this will be the best day of your life. Wave at me and say, John, I just told Jesus that I want him in my life. God bless you back there. God bless you there. Others, wave your hand so I can see you, because of the lights, it's a little hard. God bless you over here. If you're serious, and I'm sure you are, I'm going to ask you to just quickly step into the nearest aisle and come right down here to the front, because I would love to pray with you. This is important. So come on. And the rest of you, turn to the one next to you and say, hey, should you be coming down to the front for this prayer? If you love the Lord and you're soundly converted and saved and all that, then of course, no. But Like my grandfather said to me years ago, John, if you're not sure, you better come. So come quickly. Come on. I want to pray with you. Come on. Come on, young man. Come on. Come on over here. Back over here. Come on, my dear. Come on. God bless you, sweetie. God bless you, honey. Shabbat. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Gather in a little bit and speak to your friend and say, hey, I'll go with you if you want. If you need to come up, come on down and join this group. But just come a little closer, everybody. Let me just say this. There's no big pressure. Hey, you got to join the church and you got to do this or that or the other. You've got one assignment. And that assignment is this. Fall in love with the one who just rescued you. Say, wow, how do I do that? Well, get to know him. I would say start reading the Bible, especially start in the book of John in the New Testament, and read about what Jesus is really like. So today's message was really not geared for what you're doing right now, but what you're doing is the very starting point of this whole thing. No church can save you. This church can't save you. No man can save you. Only God can do that through Jesus Christ, his son. Only Jesus is the Savior. Have you got that? Why? Because he is God who came as a man and died in your place and paid your debt. So now you have a basis for forgiveness when you simply believe. Pray it after me. Let's all pray it. Time's gone, but we can take time to do this. Say it out loud and mean every word of it. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I admit that I have sinned. I am so sorry. I've done many things wrong. But I need you to pay my debt and rescue me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior, and be my King and Lord, and teach me to love you. Amen.